नमः भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भागवते वासुदेवाय यदा तु परा भन्दयान्ध आत्मने नो परात्मति तदा हि पुत्री पुत्र बर्हिष्मत पितृपुत्रं वा साकलौ बक्षयाति यदा when to because of misfortune Parabhadhaya, in spite of exploiting all others, Andaha, blind, Atmane, for himself, Na upana maltmati, does not fall into one's share. Tada, at that time, he certainly, Pitri Putra, of the father or sons, Barhishmataha, as insignificant as a piece of grass. Pitriputran, father or sons,
Va, or
Saha, he, the conditioned soul, Kalu,
indeed,
Bhakshyati, gives trouble to. Translation. In this material world, when the conditioned soul cannot arrange for his own maintenance, despite exploiting others, he tries to exploit his own father or son, taking away that relative's possessions, although they may be very insignificant. If he cannot acquire things from his father, son, or other relatives, he is prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. Purport. Once we actually saw a distressed man steal ornaments from his daughter just to maintain himself. As the English proverb goes, necessity knows no law. When a conditioned soul needs something, he forgets his relationship with his relatives and exploits his own father or son. We also receive information from Srimad Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, the time is quickly approaching when a relative will kill another relative for a small farthing. Without Krishna consciousness, people will deteriorate further and further into a hellish condition wherein they will perform abominable acts. So the point here is being given, here Srila Prabhupada mentions Saha, he, the conditioned soul. So this is a very essential point, that the conditioned soul identifies as the controller and as the enjoyer. The living entity becomes attached to the material nature. We give up our attachment for Krishna, and because we must have attachment to something, there must be something we must work with, that we must get some pleasure. This is the nature of the soul. There must always, there is Sat Chit Ananda. So this must function. And now it's just a matter of whether we do so in the pure state as a devotee of Krishna, The relationship is with Krishna. The activities are in relationship to Krishna or with Krishna. And the goal is to please Krishna and develop our love for Him. We will make that connection with the material nature. We will become attached to that. We will try to relate with that. And we will try to get some happiness from that. It's just the way the living entity works. This is the nature. This cannot be changed. Whatever our endeavor is, this is how it will function. So now the trick is to change the attachment from attachment to the material world and material possessions to spiritual attachment to Krishna, Krishna's devotees, His name, His form, His pastimes, qualities. Then the attachment, the relationships, the activities, there's no problem. See, there's the principle of relating with someone else, becoming to attach to others, engaging in activities with those persons or situations we are attached to, and trying to gain some happiness there. This principle is there's no problem. There's nothing wrong with this. This is the nature of the living entity. This is the nature of Krishna. But the difference is who you are attached to and how you try to establish the relationships. This is where the problem comes. Instead of as servant of Krishna and then relating to Krishna in the spiritual nature and in this way pleasing Krishna and becoming pleased herself, we become attached to the material nature and we try to place ourselves in the position of Krishna. So you want to control, we want to enjoy. So when the living entity is pious, in other words, he is reaping the result of his previous good activities, then wealth is there, all the different things are there, and the materialistic living entity manifests all kinds of nice good qualities. But as they start to burn up these activities, because you do a pious act, you only get so much result for it. So much credit is there. And then as you enjoy that credit, it becomes less and less. So with time, then the living entity, if they are just by nature, we see that they become attached to the results and the happiness. And it comes without effort, right? The child is born in a wealthy family. He's rich without effort. The parents take care, give all facility. He gets that without any effort. So naturally the living entity becomes attached. And when we get attached to this, then as time goes and that piety becomes less and less, then those facilities come less and less. Now we are born in not as wealthy a family. The parents may not take care as well. Or we're born in a poor family. They don't take care at all. Then the living entity has those attachments and he must get them. Why? Because here he is the enjoyer. The conditioned soul thinks he's the enjoyer, the controller. So he must endeavor to get these things. So here, even we see the living entity will fall lower and lower and lower in his desperation to manifest his natural nature. But because of ignorance, he's trying to do so in relationship to the material nature. And because of this, then he will take up abominable activities. He will take from relatives, he will do so many things just to get what he wants. He doesn't care, right? Naturally, it's a thing. Parents will take care of the sons will take care of the parents. But then one takes advantage of this. And it is not on the platform of emotion. It is not on the platform of exchange in relationship. But it gets simply down to the senses. There's some connection with the senses. The bodies are connected. Therefore, I will exploit this situation and get what I want from my senses. So this is the natural path that the living entity will have to travel unless they are Krishna conscious. Only if one is God conscious, then this is the real piety. Real piety means to be God conscious. Then, even if the situation is not so wonderful, one is not reaping the benefits of great pious activities, material pious activities of the past, still, one will not be disturbed because he does not think himself the controller or the enjoyer. So in a situation where one has very little, has nothing, maybe one has no real position or authority or respect, still one goes on happily because he sees Krishna's hand in everything. Krishna's hand, the hand of the Vaishnavas. And then one is able to go on very nicely with no problem. One sees the Lord is in control. He is the controller. He is the enjoyer. He is seeing, how will I behave? Krishna says, Amanina manandena trinadapi sunicheda tarodapi sahishnuna. So now Krishna wants to check. He wants to see, are we willing to do this? We stand before the Lord. We tell the Lord, I am yours, do with me as you wish. So then he wants to check, well, can I do as I wish? Can I give? Can I take away? If I give things, will they remember me? If I take things away, will they remember me? What is the situation? Is it really true? This devotee is coming before me and saying, I am yours, do with me as you please. Please engage me in your service. So Krishna wants to see. This is the relationship that the devotee is saying exists. So Krishna, he wants this. So he'll test. He'll check. Is it true? And then we may have position. Somebody doesn't deal properly. Or we have no position. You know? We find ourselves in so many things. We have to tolerate so many things. Difficulties physically. You know, mentally, from others, adiatmic, adidaivic, adibhotic, kleshas. These will come and Krishna will test. Is it true? Is he tolerant? Is he humble? Then, does he give respect to others or not expect it for himself? So Krishna will test these things. And in testing, then the meaning of our prayers and the realization of our prayers is then seen. Means we've heard this is what we should do and we understand this and we do it because we know it is proper. But Krishna also being independent and wanting to establish actual real relationships, lasting relationships, not going to be there for one day, 2 days, few weeks, few months, few years, but eternity. So Krishna is willing to enter into that kind of relationship as long as we're able to keep up. So Krishna tests. One may say, well, why does he do like this? Because he wants something real. Because he knows the material nature, the attachments, just like a person at night is having a nightmare. So you go over and wake them up. Because you know the nightmare is not real. And as soon as they come to reality, all that will go away. So our attachments in the material world, our desires, so many endeavors that we have, that unless they're nicely connected with Krishna, then they're not real. It means they exist, but our attachment and involvement with them is not a fact. It's not important. We become attached to them so we suffer or we enjoy. But that's our own choosing. The material nature has nothing to do with us. So we choose to become attached to this situation, that situation. So many different things, the body. And then if something goes nice or not nice, we enjoy, we suffer. So for Krishna, all these things are just like a dream. So he does for him to give these different things is not a problem because it's a dream anyway. They do not actually affect the soul. The soul does not become disturbed it's too hot out or disturbed that it's too cold or relatives are nice, relatives are not nice. we have money, we don't have, we have position, we don't have. These are all just how we perceive it. And we are then affected by this because of our attachments. So Krishna may work how whatever is best for us. Krishna knows us. He knows what we've done, what our desires are, what we've done in previous lifetimes, therefore how things manifest this life. So he knows best, if we say, I am yours, I surrender, he knows best how to remove any anarthas that are there. He's the best one, because he knows the history. He knows the original point where it grew from. Right? Just like if you have some big, huge, big brambles or some very complicated, big, huge thing and you want to get rid of it, the easiest thing is to just find out where the root is. You cut that, the whole thing will dry up. And then you can just pull it away. But otherwise, you'll be cutting this branch, that branch, and it'll take you a long time before you actually get to the root. So Krishna knows the root, so he can go there immediately and touch that point. And if we react nicely, then he can do more serious work. If we don't react so nicely, he may leave it. It'll grow a little bit more. When we become more frustrated, then maybe we're ready. He can then deal with it. Means we have to ourselves be to the point where we don't mind. If Krishna gives, then it's up to him. It's for him. If Krishna takes, we don't mind. It's Krishna's anyway. I am Krishna's. Whatever happens, it's up to him. It's not ours. Though it comes into our care, we do our best to take care of it, engage whatever has come into our care nicely, possessions or family, this body, whatever it may be. But we know that ultimately it's Krishna's. Then, and all these things, he's just seeing how well you deal, how nice you deal, how you're Krishna conscious. And then according to that, then we actually become happy or we suffer. We can see that the devotees, because everything is in relationship to Krishna, even though they're suffering, they're always remembering Krishna, so they actually are happy. When Krishna, when in feelings of separation, they remember Krishna more. And that ecstasy that they get is actually greater than when they're with Krishna. So this is something very wonderful. So no situation is inauspicious for the devotee, because he always remembers the Lord. So this is the point, is that the living entity, because of forgetting Krishna, these difficulties come up. So to that degree that we remember Krishna, this kind of problem will go away. And to that degree that we don't remember Krishna, this problem will remain. Depending upon where we are situated, we may do this very subtly or very grossly. That is just a matter of training and time. But the Bhagavatam is pointing out this is what the living entity will do. Because this is the nature of the living entity. He must be attached to something. So he can either be in the mood of servant and accept Krishna's authority and Krishna as the enjoyer and help in that enjoyment. Or he can be envious of Krishna. So therefore he puts himself as the enjoyer and becomes attached to the material nature. So if we don't envy Krishna, we're attached to Krishna. If we envy Krishna, we're attached to material nature. So in the process of turning our attachment again from this matter to spirit, in that process, we will find these things will be there to some degree. And in the process of advancement in devotional service, the process of anartha nivritti, then we are to watch for this. We are to see, do I do that? Do I take advantage like this? Do I deal with my family members or deal with other members of the society? other authorities or friends or whoever I feel close to? Do I try to take advantage in this way? Even if we don't feel close, but we feel we can get something from them. Because many times if the son feels, wants something from the father, may do it nicely, pleasantly. And if he's not getting, then they may get nasty. Court cases are there, stealing is there, so many things are there. So many ways. So we have to see, do we do this? Am I doing this? Others are doing. Others are doing, we understand it's just the modes of nature. If I am doing, yes, I'm still contaminated by these things. We should make that endeavor to figure out how to stop this. And how we stop is understanding Krishna is the enjoyer. That's the actual only way. He is the enjoyer, I am the servant. Then the whole material existence becomes uprooted. And then we will not be disturbed by all the different explanations that are mentioned in this chapter. And this chapter goes on for a long time. Big chapter. So 46 verses, where it describes how the living entity, the obstacles or the anarthas that the living entity will practically find in one's daily existence if one is not Krishna conscious. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes. Is a very good point Gyanagamya Prabhu has made. Is that now, if we become thoughtful and we're able to turn our intelligence, our power of discrimination, onto our own self, our own life, our own activities, how does one keep from becoming discouraged or depressed by seeing these things in one's own heart? So this is a very, very important practical point. Because we have to be able to discern. I mean, the essence basically comes down in understanding who we are and to be able to deal with that. See, as in the material world, generally you have two scenarios. One is very confident of one's ability, and because of this, one either sees no problems in oneself, and he, with great confidence, moves on with his plans. One has plans, and one moves forward with them very, you know, nicely. Even though there's obstacles, one has the determination, the courage, everything to progress, push on. Because of that self-confidence. You think, yes, I know I'm doing well, others are praising me, results are coming. You know, things are good. Things are on the up and up. But then, things don't go so well, then we find that we become discouraged, we lose our self-confidence, we become self-conscious, we become get into a defeatist kind of mentality, figure I cannot do, I cannot move forward, and then one becomes overwhelmed with the mode of ignorance. So we see, the first one, having that self-confidence, is the mode of passion. And then being in a mood of self-defeat is the mode of ignorance. So both are basically the same thing, just different sides of the coin. The essence is, I am special, I am important. So because I'm important, things are happening, you know, because I'm important, then, you know, we move forward with great confidence. That what I'm doing is right, I'm very special, I'm getting the results, that proves how good I am. So it's based on that we think ourselves to be very special, and we are the doer, that we're the one doing, we're the controller. Then the other one is that I want to control, I want to do, I'm not getting the result. So therefore, I'm embarrassed. If I do something, the result won't be good. People will criticize. I will feel more embarrassed. So therefore, we may not want to do something because we feel we'll be embarrassed in front of others. And that'll be very difficult. Krishna points that out in the Gita, that for someone who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death because of the ego. So he's talking to Arjuna, Kshatriyas, so much passion is there. This is very important for them, like that. So then the main point is that one has to try to situate oneself in goodness. Because in goodness we understand who we are, that we are the soul. And because of our attachment to the material world, therefore we've gained this mind, this intelligence, this particular body. And it naturally, by the modes of nature, is going to act in a particular way. So it is not actually us. It is just our attachment to the material world. Because we've become attached to the material world, we've developed this. It means that's what we have today. You go back a few lifetimes, it was something else. You go forward a few lifetimes, it'll be something completely different. That's why you see that the son, the father, they can deal with each other in such bad ways. Because the relationship is just this lifetime. So one lifetime we've known this living entity. But for unlimited lifetimes we've been trying to control and enjoy. So that's the prominent element in our life. So we understand that that's just what is happening today. So it's not actually anything to do with me. Krishna is the controller. He is the enjoyer. I will make the endeavor. The result comes, doesn't come. That is up to him. But I will make the endeavor. I've seen what's wrong. It's just like with the doctor. You go to the doctor checks, diagnosis, and then depends on the diagnosis, you take a particular medicine. So if we know, okay, the ego is big here, or the mind is crazy here, or the intelligence, you know, is misdirected here, or, you know, the senses, or whatever it is, then we know, okay, so this is what we have to work on. So it's not a matter that we should become discouraged, because this is just what we happen now. Prabhupada mentions we've gone through all the species of life. So sometimes we've been as qualified as Lord Brahma, and sometimes we've been as unqualified as a worm in stool. So what we have now is pretty good. And that one has taken up devotional service means we have already done everything. We have come to the perfection of karma. We've come to the perfection of jnana. We've come to the perfection of yoga, and we still weren't satisfied. We did everything. We were Brahma. We were Indra. We were big yogis. We were worms in stool. We were everything. We've done it. We've not been satisfied with anything. Now we've taken up devotional service. So what's there now is just the remnants from whatever we've done before. And so now it's a matter of taking this and overcoming them, one by one or however they come. And you see what is there and what is the result. And the result ultimately goes back to remembering Krishna, never forgetting, and that's there. And then next step down is our sadhana, chanting, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, hearing the Bhagavatam, living in the holy dham. Then further details, how you properly chant, how you associate, all these things. Therefore we have the Vaishnava, the sadhana bhakti, the culture of devotional service, all these different activities we have just to give us something to do so that we do not have to leave it up to the mind. Because the mind otherwise by nature will go for something passionate in the future or lament about something in the past. So we have to practice disconnecting ourselves from this, and that devotional service is so powerful, it's more powerful than the mind, than the material consciousness. And if we apply it, we will get the result. That is why it is mentioned that we gain inspiration in our chanting and other activities of our sadhana, so we do not become discouraged. Then it's recommended that we read the histories of the devotees, how they became perfect. It's very essential. Therefore, we see that the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, these are all stories of people becoming perfect. Arjuna starts off, he's attached to mundane morality. He's attached to the dharma, but no philosophy. Right? So it's sentiment. Krishna tells him, this is sentiment. You're quoting dharma, but you're not quoting the philosophy that goes with that dharma. So, and then he brings Arjuna to the point where he understands, I do my duty, but for Krishna. I'm not doing it because this is the duty that must be done. Because the Shastras say that, you know, the man does this, woman, the husband, the son. I'm doing it because this pleases Krishna. I do my duty, I do it for Krishna. Then, that is the point. We've already done, oh, we do the duty, that's the karma. Or we renounce that duty, that's the jnana. Krishna points out is we do our duty for Krishna. So we see Arjuna becoming perfect here. The Bhagavatam, we see so many devotees becoming perfect. Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see so many devotees becoming perfect. So we take inspiration from that. They've come to do these pastimes to give us that inspiration. So we will not have this difficulty. Because otherwise, if we look at it, we see also another place to look is in the songs of the Acharyas, like the songbook Sharanagati. So many songs are there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes us through this. I've done all these things. I grew up, I got very educated, I became proud of my education, and then I was traveling here and there, I was making money, I was becoming big in the society, so many things are happening. You know, the children are there, they're growing up, everything's going nicely, and now I'm old, everything's falling apart, no one cares for me anymore, and now I realize I wasted my whole life. So like this, then he goes through each one of these points, and one song, just on one point. How I wasted in this way, how to do this, how to gain that hope, how to offer the prayers. So he's praying to Krishna. It says, all these good qualities, Trinadapi, Sunichena, Tarodapi, when will you bless me with these? When will the anarthas go from my heart? When will you bless me with these qualities so that I can serve? My position is I should be serving. I can only serve if I have these qualities and if I remove these anarthas. So by your blessings, these will come. By the association of devotees, right, I will gain these qualities. So it's very, very important that in the process of looking at the anarthas in the heart, we do not become discouraged. We may become very understanding of the reality of where we stand. But by that, the nature of it is when we realize, yes, so many anarthas are there, the next thing is we become humble. Right? So the first step has been seriously made by this introspection. Then it's like, you know, I'm such a wretch, why I should be... Like, intolerance comes when we think we're special. Right? Like you see, a child may be tolerant, but if he gets so much attention, he becomes spoiled, then he's totally intolerant. Because things don't go his way. But now I'm useless, I'm a wretch. So what does it matter what's happening? You know? Because I've done so much in the past. Whatever nonsense there is to do, I've done it. Whatever, wasted my time and all so many activities, I've done it. So whatever comes, I deserve it. So our tolerance is there. We understand ourselves. We tolerate others. I deserve it. Like that. They are an instrument only for the Lord. This situation may be right or wrong, but that was what Arjuna was saying. This situation is wrong. Killing family members over some little bit of this and that, why bother? But Krishna was pointing out, yes, on the material platform is there, but let's look at the spiritual platform. Krishna has come to remove the world of the demons. Here, all the demons assembled right here in this battlefield, and you as a Kshatriya can do your duty fighting and help Krishna in his service removing the burden of the world. Right? So what is this talk of good and bad? So then we understand. Others may be doing this, but it's not... This justice thing is another thing. It may be right, it may be wrong. On the material platform, what do I deserve? I wouldn't be getting it if I didn't deserve it. Krishna is not such a bad manager that we did only good things and now we're only getting bad results. Right? For inspiration in this, we can read the history what is his name? Bali Maharaj with Vamanadeva. There he had everything, lost everything, and was, how do you say? Not disturbed. Yes.
Could you quantify to what extent the living entity, specifically the human being, is subject to his activities, is subject to destiny, as opposed to how you say minute independent choice?
We could all hear?
So this question was asked to me by one of the biggest government officers last week.
Yes, so question is how much we're affected by destiny and how much is like the result of our activities and how much do we have independence to make a choice how we do? It's basically at every moment the living entity has the independence to choose Krishna or Maya. And in choosing Krishna, then there's a process that's there. If we choose Krishna, then there's the process of sadhana bhakti, surrendering to Guru. And we have every moment to choose whether we do that or not. But there's a set path that it will follow. Shraddha, you gain faith. Then sadhu sangha, you associate with the devotees. Then bhajana kriya, you take up, you surrender to Guru, you follow the process. Then anartha nivritti, you seriously try to remove the anarthas, the doubts and misgivings from the heart by studying the philosophy, by performing devotional activities. Then we become steady, because now as the anarthas start to become removed, we start to become steady. Then we gain a taste. Then we gain attachment now for Krishna. Now we're starting to be reinstated in that, and because of that attachment for Krishna, then bhava, and that matures into prema. So it will go in that way, maybe quickly, maybe slowly, some part will stay longer, some shorter, depending upon what is the anartha. So that is a set path, but at any point we have the independence to choose, do we do it or not? Do I want to continue or do I want to take a little break? Do I want to be serious? Do I want to not be so serious? So same with Maya. There's a set path. You have the way the modes of nature work. You have the 8,400,000 species of life. So you can choose at any moment to continue on this path or to get off that path into God consciousness. Or to go from pious into impious or impious to pious. So on the material platform, you can move like this from what is pious to what is impious. Or vice versa. But still that gives no solution. Because you take the pious path, it has a course. You can get up to Lord Brahma. And then if you don't become God conscious, then you'll come down again. If you take the impious path, then you'll go down to hell and you'll become big, big demons. And after a while you become so frustrated in that, then again you'll turn to piety. It's like that. These paths are set, but you can choose where you want to sit on it, how you want to take, you know? Just like you go to, or there's some prasadam. You have the choice to choose what is the prasadam you take. But now when you take that, you cannot choose what it will taste like. Right? If you take some sweet rice, you cannot decide that it's going to taste like a pakora. Or, I take a pakora, you know, it should taste like salad. No, it has its nature. You chose it, now you'll enjoy the result of what you chose. You do a pious activity, you can choose to do the pious activity, but the result you'll get from it, that you cannot choose. That's set. You know, that's just the way it is. So in the same way, you perform an impious activity, you choose to do it. But the result that you'll get, you cannot choose. You will get that result. When you'll get the result, that's the the material nature will arrange. You may get immediately, you may get after some time, depends upon the result, depends upon the particular activity, the severity, the amount. So many things are there. So one has that choice to choose. But generally you'll see someone on the pious path has a tendency to become more pious to a point. Someone on an impious path has a tendency to get more and more impious to a point. And then it switches. But one can choose at any time. Like that. That freedom is given at any moment. You don't have to do. Like that. Just like the rule of moksha, that one living entity kills another, you know, and then in the next life it's reversed. So that opportunity is there. This living entity's killed you in the last life. You have the opportunity now to kill them. But you can also not take it. You can think, well, this is not so good. Why don't I not take it? I don't want. And then that stops that one. So you have that choice. But then you'll do something else. And then that will start a different thing. So at every moment, the results are coming and you can create new. So it's very dynamic. It's constantly going on. So it's very hard to see. Does that make any sense? Or? I think it's... Yes, Mati. Yes, Mati. By?
Free will.
Yes, we'll get to that. Okay, this is the last point, last question. Is Mataji is asking that in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Narottam Das Thakur says that one should create or maintain an environment that's favorable for the performance of your devotional service. And then from doing devotional service, then many times you find that, you know, some good result comes. This is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhuri Kadambini. By performance of devotional service, then many times opulence comes. Like that, when one has started to remove many, many of the obstacles in our service, not all, but when one gets to, I think Rupa Goswami mentions 6/10, so it means just over half. At that point, one starts to become fixed in the devotional service. This is the position of nishta. And from that being fixed, then devotees appreciate, the Lord appreciates, and many times opulences come, material opulences, facilities, all that comes. So then, from that, then we have to be very, very careful. One, that we ourselves do not become now attached to these things. We went to so much trouble to remove other anarthas, and then this result comes. Now if we become attached to this, we gain new anarthas. So one has to be very, very careful. It means this is the other side. Krishna can take away, but Krishna can give. So he tests on both sides. So then if we find that that is not favorable, others become, either we ourselves become disturbed by this, or we find others become disturbed, then there's no need to keep such opulence. Because if the opulence is coming by, one, it can be engaged in the Lord's service, keep minimal for ourselves. Other aspect is it's many times a show of, you know, reciprocation between devotees. They may give things. So if we can use them or engage them in Krishna's service, that's nice. But for ourselves, then we would keep minimal. Or if it's things that are only personal, it's hard to use in other ways, then we can readjust the relationship that is more simple. Means one person wants to show some appreciation for another, there's a medium through which it's done. So that medium does not have to be opulence. It can be something simple. So that must be set by the senior person. That's the duty, is one has to set according to one's own power of digestion, means how you can digest and utilize these things in Krishna service. And one must set it according to the time and circumstance. If there's too much over-endeavor on the other's part, or it's not favorable, or there's no nice way to engage it nicely in Krishna's service, like that, then one has to adjust. So the senior person should do the adjust, should make the adjustments, should do the training. Does that make sense? Okay. So, let's see. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainita Gaur Premanandi.